Yes, indeed. Here we go. It's Friday. I'm psyched for Fridays because it's Friday. And because Michael Harrison joins us for the first hour, we have a lot of fun. Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine. How are you, sir?
I am fine. And how are you?
Rocking Friday, Todd. And rolling.
Super,
ready for
super.
The weekend. You know why I love the weekend? Because what? Monday is so close and we get to do it all over again.
I know. Isn't that crazy? You know, we look forward to the weekend and it's so close to Monday.
It's like 20 seconds the whole weekend.
Well, time, you know, goes fast as we talk about. And lately, this week just went flying by. Gosh, it was crazy. But the weekends go amazingly fast. What do you do on the weekend? Are you the kind of person that likes to just relax and veg out?
Or I am. I like to make no plans and to lay around and let the day develop as it wishes. And my wife is the opposite. So she starts immediately asking me what I want to do. Should we go here? Should we go there? And then she makes a hypothetical plan that we're going to go see a 1 o'clock movie. And without even having me look, I'm in charge of looking because I do the internet stuff and the computers. And but she makes the plan, and then it creates this stress about you have to go somewhere at a certain time, which we 90% of the time don't do. But she likes to create that expectation that there's an
activity. What do you mean you don't do it? What do you mean you don't do it?
We get into something else, and then she says, I guess we shouldn't go see that movie. I say, no kidding. Why didn't you just leave me alone all morning?
Wow. But when one wants to do something and the other doesn't, it creates stress and a guilt feeling like, oh, my gosh. You know.
Well, it does a little bit, but it's good because I would never leave the house. So I need her prodding. I'm happy with Netflix, with a book, with the computer and social media, and with her cooking. What else do you need?
Has this been something all your life, or has this happened as you got older?
Always been this way.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like a bit? Is it that you don't like stepping out the door? Or is it lazy?
and enjoying the house, you know, enjoying just doing my own thing. I don't like the stress of we have a plan. Like, if you have a plan, doesn't it bother you if at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon you have to do something and then all day you're back timing into it?
Yes. It's a constant source of stress and irritation. On the other hand, if I don't have anything planned, sometimes I get so lazy at times when I have that opportunity not to be engaged that I feel guilty, that I'm wasting time.
Well, the guilt is the problem. You work hard. You deserve to chill.
Yeah. But you know, one of the things about people that work hard are the ones that think they're the laziest.
Yes.
People that are truly lazy don't know they're lazy. They're just slug.
That's human nature. It's like the people who have tons of money are cheap bastards.
Have you ever had anybody come to you that they're desperate for money, that they're down best buck, and they ask you to borrow money, find out they actually are worth more than you are?
Well, that's most people I engage with.
No, I've had that happen to me a number of times, where people, you know, it's back to what we're saying before, about default, what their bar is set at comfort zone, whether it's lazy or working, or whether it's being comfortable in terms of their finances. One person thinks they're on top of the world, and they may have the net worth of sales, but it's enough. And the other person is a worrywart that feels they don't have enough and they're going to run out of money.
No, but isn't there a pattern here? Isn't there a premise around which you can place this, a principle of human behavior?
You mean like from a psychology book?
Yeah, well, from your own psychology book.
I guess these are principles of human behavior, but you don't know.
Like, aren't rich people the ones who are cheap? You're getting feedback?
I'm getting a slap back where I hear myself coming back at me. Now it stopped.
Well, that's so me slapping you.
So you have to stop that slap happy behavior.
Sorry, that's radio talk, folks.
What happens, folks, is sometimes when you're on the radio with the complicated technical setup that we have, you hear yourself come back to you 1/2 a second later, and it can cause insanity.
Yes, I just go with it. It feels so familiar, I have no problem with it.
Well,
the insanity does.
You're good at it.
So people
are being insane.
people are cheap who are rich. People who have nothing to worry about worry the most. Therefore, all of their anxiety has gotten them to eliminate the things that they're worried about. But they can't stop the worrying. It's an internal genetic predisposition. There's nothing you can do. You're stuck being a warrior, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I think that once one becomes, and this is why people go into therapy, once one becomes aware of their behavior.
Yes.
And then they find the roots.
You have to go find the source so you can blame your mother for the right thing.
Of course, and you blame your parents for everything, or you blame your children.
Well, it's all your parents' fault, though.
To a certain degree, that's true. I mean, to a certain degree, it's all your parents' fault. However, you reach a point where you have to let it go.
Yes.
When I talk to 50-year-old people and 60-year-old people who are still blaming their parents, I go, what the hell's wrong with you?
I know. It's time to move on. Like, when are you going to grow up and assume responsibility for your own life? But the thing I've noticed is it seems to me we're becoming less mature as a society and less willing to accept adulthood.
I think you're right about that. I think part of it is economic. I think part of it is maybe just the way the pendulum goes. Or maybe it's just every generation thinks
that. No, we're just so indulged.
Really?
Aren't we? We're so indulged. That's why we put up with government, for example. It doesn't do a darn thing right. It just all fits our expectation. Oh, we just want to whine about the world and how America's racist and
I love the way you always bring government into everything. You're obsessed.
Well, that's
with
what
government.
I think about. I am.
Well, what would you replace it with?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to design a new model because obviously government doesn't work.
Well, but how is government different than incompetent big business
or
corrupt religions or any organization? Look at what's going on at the National Rifle Association that so many people who call talk radio and listen radio are obsessed with as being this wonderful organization that is there to protect their
Second
Amendment
rights. They can't get
out
of their own ways. They have it all made and they're falling apart internally.
Yeah, they're falling apart internally, and they're it's suddenly becoming exposed that their top honchos are living off all that dough that's coming in.
Yes, exactly. They're falling apart internally, and yet Wayne LaPierre, because he was able to call up the president and have the president give him credit or make it clear that his phone call with Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, got Trump to back off on his calls for background checks. Like, suddenly Wayne LaPierre's got control again of the organization, even though they were trying. Mm-hmm. Everybody was trying to. There was a big coup going on. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I get the feeling Donald Trump will talk to anybody for a half hour on the
and change
the
his
telephone.
Mind. Yeah, Well, if you can get through to him, he's got to want to talk to you for some reason. But mm-hmm. then, if you have access, you've got access.
But you see, let's back up a little bit. You know, your default is government, and I agree with you. Government, I agree with almost everything you say about government. Where we part company on that discussion is that it's not inherent to government; it's inherent to big organizations.
Well, no, I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
but other big organizations, compare the size of the biggest of non-governmental organizations, and they're nothing compared to government.
Yeah, although I wonder with Jeff Bezos and people like that and Zuckerberg and all of these very strange new companies that are suddenly bigger than anything you and I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, excuse me.
Uh-oh, he lost his voice. Just thinking about those drones pulling up to the house, it's more than you can take.
A mosquito flew into my mouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. this little critter just...
Well, I hope you swallowed.
It was horrible. Well, no, he turned around and said, I'm getting out of here. He said, I don't want no part of this place. Oh, my... That's the first time that ever happened to me.
That's my favorite part of modernity, by the way. I was walking yesterday and a fly was following me for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is what it's like to live in India. You know, but you have thousands of these guys following you around. I wouldn't be able to take that.
How do you know it was a fly? It could have been, Elon Musk's latest space shot.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It could have been a mini delivery from Amazon.
It's terrible. But yeah, it's reasonably paranoid. But no, all organizations that way, obviously government being very big is a problem. But you would...
Mike, is that Harrison breaking up like that? Okay, Michael, reconnect your box. We'll take our break, and we've got to see if we can fix your skipping on us.
Well, between the bugs and hips, I was born on the wrong side of the moon. Okay,
yeah, reset that thing. Let's see how we do. 860-522-9842. This is WTIC. WTIC. It's our first hour on Fridays. We have Michael Harrison here. We're talking about the world. and what's going on in it and how we're relating to it. And Michael's reconnected, and now it's going to be perfect.
I think it's going to work now. They had me on the broken line.
Oh,
now I'm on,
yes.
Now I'm on the good line.
You sound
can
much
you hear
better
me?
Now. Yep.
Oh, good. Good.
Way that's better. Great. So did you hear the good news? This is, you know, as you say, I'm obsessed with government. I heard them on the news this morning. They've announced that they're trying to do something about the spam calls. You know how you receive about 30 or 40 calls a day from somebody with a ridiculous. Do you get this Chinese woman from New York calling?
No, she hasn't called.
You think I'm the only Mike says maybe I'm the only one who gets it.
What does she want?
No, I don't even know if it's Chinese. It might be something different. It might be Vietnamese. I don't know. She's speaking foreign language, and I get a text message from them too with the characters.
Well, you know, a lot of these spam robocalls. Call them or the emails that you get originate in foreign countries, and sometimes they get their wires crossed.
Well, I don't think they care because they've got these computers that just dial random numbers.
Yeah.
So they'll do millions of calls a day.
I intensely dislike that. I actually, you know, I'm not a hateful person, but I actually use the word hate. I hate scammers. I hate fraud. I hate. I really do. That's where I reserve that little part in my psyche for hate, where I actually embellish it. I get very, very angry. And
how long have you felt this way? When is the first time you remember feeling angry?
I don't remember the first time, but I do know that you're being cute with me here. But the fact of the matter is, you're just a happy-go-lucky guy. You don't take anything seriously, do you?
I take it all very seriously, but I have fun doing it.
But the truth of the matter is that these people infringe on your time, and they're so what's the word, transparent? They're so obviously scams. I have been getting company out to. I don't know. I think California or someplace that remember the conversation we had on March 15th. Like, I never had a conversation with a guy. Remember that we decided that we're going to give your company a credit line? Well, we figured out that you deserve blah, blah, blah. And an enormous amount of money for a credit line that I don't even want, that I haven't even asked for.
And it's all just to suck you in.
To suck you in, call right now, and it expires after today. And I've been getting it for a week. So I clicked on the take me off the list thing, and a new guy from the company starts sending it to me. In other words, they took me off one guy's list and put me, and
they passed the number over to another account.
But come on, if somebody says I had a conversation with you back on March 15th, and you know you didn't,
they don't care though. Well, it's about volume.
What's upsetting is there are a lot of people who are unsophisticated. In many cases, it's the elderly, and they get suckered into kind of stuff.
I just saw a thing on Good Morning America today. Some woman sent $85,000 off to some scam trying to help somebody out. Have you ever gotten one of those emails where it's somebody who's stuck in Nigeria and he's got $1 million in an account, but he needs $30,000 to free it up? Could you send him
Those were the original ones, you know.
Yes, but those are still going around.
I am the widow
around.
Of the...
Exactly, yes. It's always a widow.
Right. Those go all the way back, I think, to like the days of CompuServe. But the one that you're talking about is, I am your grandson. Your brother. And I'm trapped in some country at the airport.
Yes, send money right away. They even make a phone call with somebody faking being the the grandchild or something. It's weird how that stuff works.
But what kind of human beings? This goes right to the core of the confidence that we have to have in humanity if we're going to be able to function in the world and take sides.
Yes, but you can't have confidence in humanity when there is huge disparity of wealth. And by the way, not to bore you with government talk, but this is the problem with government. Government is so big. Government gets to just sit there and create this huge this huge carafe, or whatever you want to call it, of collecting gold, right? Gold just drops into their hands like magic. And they've got so much power, there's no way to trust them. There's no way to trust somebody from a third world country looking at the wealth in the United States. They just see all that glittering gold here, and they say, let me get my piece of that action. I don't care what the scam is. Give me the scam. They must sit there and laugh like it's going to Vegas and putting a buck in, a silver dollar in a one-armed bandit, and suddenly $1,000 comes out. It's magic.
I'm getting a number of texts from people that listen to me that are within my circle of friends who have my own text thing, and they're telling me that they are getting the same kind of calls that you're getting from the foreign language lady.
Oh, really?
And that you should block it. That they all say you should block
it. Well, I don't want to hurt her feelings.
See, I feel that way about Siri.
You do? You don't want to insult Siri?
I don't want to insult. I am.
What is it
cordial
with you and Siri?
I'm cordial. Well, whoever Siri now is a generic name. Sometimes it isn't Siri. Sometimes it sounds like, her.
No, I'm totally with you. I call Rosalie, and I call the GPS voice the bitch, because our first GPS, she used to give us attitude. You made a wrong turn. You are going the wrong way. Rerouting, and we felt like we had ruined her day.
Right.
She's a real person in my mind.
Well, look, if you're going to engage in this dance with artificial intelligence that they go to great lengths to make you feel like you're talking to a person, I mean, it could go make a left or take
a
left.
It still has a little bit of that in it, wouldn't you confess?
I don't know. No, I mean, it's very easy to look. How do you know that the people that you're talking to in your daily life have consciousness?
Well, but they've developed a very acute sense of how to communicate in such a way to make it seem like they have a mind. Whether they do or not, all the people we encounter speak in a way that makes us feel that they do. But Siri doesn't always, or whoever, Android voice or whatever, they don't pull it off all the time, I don't think.
Well, but what's going to happen is another 5 years, another 10 years, it's going to be seamless. Another 20 years, people are not going to be able to tell the difference. And there's even, futurists believe that people will marry their robots.
Wow.
That people will find more pleasure, comfort, and happiness in robots that are designed for your personality and to accommodate your sensitivities and the way you think and feel. You would rather be with the robot and get the comfort of their pleasure, of the pleasure of their company.
I assume it'll be easier to negotiate the prenup.
It'll be very easy. But you think I'm kidding around. I'm not. There's a very fine line.
I think that makes sense. We will have very sophisticated robots for our permanent life partners, and we'll have human engagement just for fun, right? Everything will be on an app. We'll pick up humans on an app.
How would you even know if somebody is a human? How do you know? I mean, there are people.
I have trouble now determining.
There could be a lot of hamburger helper out there. If in fact. No, look, why waste consciousness on 7 billion people in the world when you can get by with maybe 1 billion and the other 6 billion? Are just slugs.
All right. We've got to pause for our bottom of the hour break. Michael, work on your connection again with Mike, okay? Because we're getting some breakup again. 860-522-9842. It's Todd Feinberg with Michael Harrison, WTIC. WTIC, it's first hour Friday, so we hang out with Michael Harrison. From Talkers Magazine, the trade journal of the talk radio industry. Michael, the Greenland purchase attempt, or even interest from the Trump administration, I think fell right into the president's sweet spot. He loves simple little statements that capture the imaginations of the media and hold them locked in place, just talking about that one thing. Even in mockery, it gives him a victory, I think. It seems to me. Oh, only on the phone? Okay. I thought that was a backup. Hello there, Michael. Sorry, I didn't know we were doing phone connection.
Yeah, so now do you hear me differently?
Yeah, I hear you on the phone. Doesn't sound nearly as rich and beautiful.
You can hear me, though, because I hear you. It was hard to hear you before. We're having our miraculous technical setup is having a little bit of a hiccup today, so we're not sure. fact is, we're on the telephone now, so we can communicate. That being said, first of all, I don't think that the floating of the idea of buying Greenland deserved the kind of ridicule the president got, because our country has a history of purchasing land. We've expanded from this little coastal, you know, republic with 13 states, 13 colonies, and we go all the way into the Pacific Ocean. We go all the way up toward Siberia, you know, with Alaska. We bought large swaths of land, the Louisiana Purchase, as I mentioned, Alaska, the Philippines, I believe. I mean, this.
Well,
this,
not only that, but we made an offer for Greenland back in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million.
Yeah, so a lot of people just, you know, who don't know that history go, oh, buying Greenland, this guy is really an arrogant jerk. You know, what does he think he is, buying the world? What does he think, it's a deal, you know, another real estate deal? Well, yeah, you know, and basically all Greenland had to say was, or Denmark had to say, was, we're not interested, and that would have been the end of it. But they were like, oh, you know, we're not for sale. And
but that's the story here, it seems to me, is what is it that made it something to mock? And how does that decision get made? How is there a uniform worldwide response to Trump? I think it's a fascinating thing that he's trained the whole world to do exactly what he wants the whole world to do. The entire American machinery clicks into mock Trump mode. And this solidifies his position, or at least he seems to think it does, by being able to control the media cycle and not let anyone else get any oxygen.
You're bringing up a good question, and part of it is because, as I said before, he just craves attention. Part of it is because it muddies up the press when he wants to hide something else, and he knows how to do that because the press chases after what's called in the industry the shiny object. But the other thing is that Trump does something that most presidents don't do or haven't done before, and that is he thinks aloud. He shares his notion, think things out. He can't wait till tomorrow to see how he feels about it. You know, I'm thinking about buying Greenland. Well, presidents don't talk like that. So people are always ready to jump on some of his half-baked ideas.
Yeah, but we're past that point. He's been president now playing the same game for 2.5 years, and the media responds every day as if it's the first time it's ever seen this game. Why does the media respond with one voice? Like, even if they were going to respond, even if they were going to respond to the story, they could at least offer some nuanced differences in the way they cover the story, but they all have one response, and that is mockery.
Well, that's because the media loves that Trump is mockable. The media that loves Trump the most are the ones that criticize him the most.
But the media isn't supposed to be that thing that you're describing. It's not supposed to be one moronic simpleton response. They claim that they are this important part of the American design, that we need a rich and thoughtful flow of information, and they hold themselves up to be that, and then every day they go out and act like complete morons, imitating each other. The New York Times writes one thing, and then you see that on all the network newscasts in the morning, and then the whole world of media imitates it all day long. It's ridiculous.
This is all part of the syndrome of big. I remember Daniel Patrick Moynihan. I remember he once, in a speech, he referred to something. I don't know if he coined the term or what, but he called it the iron law of emulation. And the iron law of emulation is basically that competing entities take on each other's characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in the Detroit auto industry, and it set us up to be beaten by foreign competition. And it happens in the media. That's why if you turn on local TV stations, they're covering the exact same cat in a tree at exactly the same time. How that happens is beyond me, but they do it. It's amazing how, and I'm totally aware of this because at Talkers, we track what people are talking about, and it's not that hard to do because everybody's talking about the same thing.
But I don't understand that instinct. So when I go, I look at Talkers Magazine, and you guys have a list. This is what you're alluding to, Michael, is you guys have a list of the top topics that Talk radio hosts around the country are discussing. And I look at that list and I think, I don't talk about any of these things. Like, these aren't really relevant to my audience. And I don't understand how everybody is so imitative. But I guess it's...
Well, we don't talk about them talking about the state capital of Connecticut in California. So yeah, I mean, we talk about the national issues, and I disagree with you that the national issues are irrelevant to your audience. It's just that your realm is larger than just the national issues. You also deal with citywide issues, metro issues, and statewide issues.
Yes,
and
but right. Even if I'm picking the national ones, they're not necessarily the same ones. I mean, there's a world of stuff to cover, and we all get to invent what we're going to do.
It doesn't work that way anymore in corporate America, any more than it worked that way back when every radio station was playing the same songs. Why, there were only 40, top 40 radio never played 40 songs. They played 17 songs. There were only 17 hit records in a country.
And did the did each big radio station in each market, each of the top 40 stations play the same 17 songs?
They played very similarly the same ones. Yeah, maybe the differential between two competing top 40 stations in a major city like New York or L.A. Or even Hartford.
I do recall,
Let me finish, Todd.
Okay.
Maybe two or three songs different per playlist. But no, yeah, they were pretty much the same.
I do recall growing up in Boston that the local hit station, whether it was MEX or whatever, that they would mix in an occasional local artist. I thought, okay, that's smart, you know? While I understand that there is a machinery of music and they all know what the best songs are and what everybody's going to love, at the same time, as much as they know that, they're also stupid and imitative, and they lack imagination in their desire to protect themselves by all doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, it has to do with justifying your action in a corporate environment. In a corporate environment, when you make a decision as a middle manager, as a programmer, or somebody that makes a decision on the run, you have to be able to justify why you did it to the upper management. And the last thing they want to hear is you say, because I like it, because I think it's a good song, because I think it's a great color, because I think it's a great style. I think that we should be innovative. It's who's doing it, and how successful is it? So, you know, one man's gut is another man's research. And most of the people are into research as opposed to even talking about gut. The other thing that doesn't work in the corporate environment anymore is I did it for the good of the people. What do you mean you did it for the good of the people? Well, we didn't make as much money, stockholders, this quarter as we would have liked to, but we saved the world. You saved the world? We're not in the business of saving the world. We're in the business of making money as much as possible.
Well, yeah, sure. And there's no money in saving the world. Everybody knows that. But there is, and I have to say, even though I believe what you're saying is true about the corporate world, that's not my experience in the corporate world of radio. Like the WTIC management says, do what you want to do. Do what you think is right. Say what you pick the topics. And they have been saying that to me from day one, and it's working really well. And they keep saying, now they just say, keep doing what you're doing. And
yeah, well, if I had a problem with WTIC management, I wouldn't be here with you, and I wouldn't be filling in. So obviously, I should disclaim what I'm saying to exclude present platform.
No, but the reason I raise it is because I think there is room, even in this big corporate world that we live in today. As a matter of fact, we owe it to our corporate managers to say to them, you're wrong, you've got to worship at the feet of your talent. The reason you have your talent is so they can make judgments, and that's going to include things that step outside the box of what you've been told or what your formula says. You can't do everything by formula. The reason you hire individual talent is so they can use their own instincts and make good stuff happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's a matter of degree. You feel that you have total freedom, and in a way you do, but you don't exercise the full potential of your freedom, because if you did, you'd be thrown out. So You know, it's like DJs used to be obsessed with the concept of playlists.
Mm-hmm.
If they hand you a list of records, here's the records you play, or if they say play whatever you want, then you write them down, well, it becomes a list one way or the other. It became so obsessed with if it was written down or it came out of a computer that somehow it made the music sound different. Or it'd be like an actor not wanting to be in a movie because they don't want to read a script. They want to make it up as they're going. Well, the proof is in the pudding. Whatever comes out in the end, the quality of that is what counts. So you may be arriving at what you're doing on WTIC by doing whatever you want. Just keep doing what you're doing, and you feel you have freedom. But if you were to suddenly wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to change this, you'd be so fast you'd get a letter from management.
Oh, I see what you're saying, that I've built my own walls now.
Of course you do.
That's
Don't
great.
Don't kid yourself.
That's great.
You know?
No, I believe you. They've gotten used to me, and they want the me from yesterday, not the me of today. That makes perfect sense. Michael Harrison is here. Stay with us on WTIC. WTIC Friday, Michael Harrison is with us. Have you ever heard the word sortition, Michael? Sortition. It might be the salvation of the American system of government.
Explain.
It is an idea that goes back to ancient Athens, I guess, which is that instead of having elections, I've been studying our system of government, trying to figure out if there's a way to avoid, you know, what the founders were doing when they created our system. They were acknowledging that the most dangerous force that humans had created was government, and that it ruined lives and made wars and created all kinds of agony because it was watching out for those who ran the government rather than the governed. So they designed our system with an idea of protecting us so that we couldn't be victims of plunderers who just wanted to do whatever they wanted with the wealth of our land. And now what we've found is they figured out a way to kidnap our system, that all the protections the founders put in to make sure that we couldn't be robbed blind by those we put into power through election, that it's not working. So I've been studying up on it, and I found this idea called sortition, and that is, instead of having elections, you have a lottery. Like, people throw their names into a hat if they want to be president, or they want to be a state representative or a congressman, and you have a drawing. And I've always said you could just pick random people off the street and get better results than what we do with elections. So what do you think about going in that direction?
I think that you're kidding.
No, I'm serious. I think it would work great.
You have to be kidding.
Why?
I mean, in other words, we're going to go from the frying pan to the fire.
Well, I think it would be better because
random people off the street to run the government? What, are you kidding me? I mean, it's funny. I just got a letter from Joe Biden that fits into all of this. As we've talked about before, I am on all of the email lists of what they consider to be soft touches for political contributions. Uh-huh. I don't know how I got on them all, but I don't say take me off, because I love to see what each of the candidates is sending the potential.
What the pitch is. You like the pitch.
Yeah, what the pitch is. And Joe Biden just sent me a letter. It came in as I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote a letter to Donald Trump from Mike. They wrote a letter to Trump on the Biden. Biden is sending me a letter he wrote. Biden wrote this letter to Trump from me. And he writes, Mike, the news, he calls me Mike. They all call me Mike. They get real cozy. Mike, the news is looking more and more like sketch comedy. So we're sending Donald Trump a straightforward letter. Stop trying to buy Greenland. It's not for sale. Sign our letter, go to Donald Trump, and chip in a dollar to make sure he doesn't get reelected. And then, Dear Donald Trump, I'll get to the point. Greenland is not for sale, and your obsession with purchasing it is embarrassing. You do not represent me on the international stage. Our country is supposed to lead the world, but to do that, we need an actual leader in the White House we can be proud of. That's why I'm sending you this letter and making a contribution to make sure Joe Biden defeats you next year. Chip in a buck, press this, press that, blah, 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 blah. Here's a list you could be doing. Signed. Oh, so President Trump, I, Mike Harrison, says it right here, am joining hundreds of thousands of Joe Biden supporters across the country to make sure this is your last term. Signed, and then they have my signature in one of those fake scripts.
Wow, they even faked your signature.
My signature, Mike Harrison.
I wonder if you could do a class action lawsuit against the Biden campaign.
This is... So Biden thinks I'm stupid.
Yes, exactly, because that's how voters behave, because they've created this system where they hone their skills at posing in just the right pose that will fall for all the tricks. Oh, he looks beautiful in that suit. Oh, he speaks so eloquently. Listen to how he reads the teleprompter. They learn these stupid tricks because they're the tricks of the era. You know, in other eras, you had to be good at killing people. And our government requires that you not kill people, that you appear to be compassionate. And what we've learned is that those in pursuit of power will morph themselves into whatever shape fools us into
right.
supporting them.
Right.
And therefore, that's why I think a lottery would be a great solution.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but you see, your solution is satire.
No, it's not. I'm serious. I think that would work
fine.
Well,
okay. If you're serious, that's fine. But that's certainly not the answer.
We do it for juries, and it works quite well. Like Americans go in and do jury duty, and they rise to the occasion.
Fortunately, most people do. I at one time would have said that most people try to get out of jury duty, but my experience is. As of the last 10 years or so, it seems that people do take that seriously. So, all right, maybe you have something there. But I can't imagine. You hang around a lot of smart people.
Mm-hmm.
You hang around a lot of competent people. I mean, you're in broadcasting.
Yeah, none of them are running for president.
Huh?
And none of them are running for president.
All right, well, the point I'm saying is that you go out into the general world and you may be shocked that many people don't even know who Joe Biden is.
Well, and then they might be the smart ones.
I'll bet you if you were to go to one of the local malls,
yeah,
and interview the first 100 adults. Let's not even do kids. 18 plus, 21 plus, and ask them who's the Vice President of the United States. Just the first 100 people you run into, that you would be shocked at that high percentage of people who do not know.
No, I think barely anybody would know Mike Pence because, you know, he's in the background. He's invisible.
Well, I knew who the Vice President of the United States was when I was 5.
Yeah, well, I probably did as well. But we're strange that way, which I guess was your point. Michael Harrison, thank you, sir.
What I'm trying to say to you, it's like people used to say to me, oh, boy, I'm listening to your talk show, and I can't believe how stupid the people are that call. and I would always say to them, you should have sat in the studio with me when I was doing music radio and listened to how stupid or smart the people are calling up for requests.
All right, Michael, we got to run. Time's up. Thank you, sir. Michael Harrison, we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Appreciate
it. Take care, Todd.
All righty.